Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by an extraordinary sister duo, Melissa and Emily Elson of 420 Blackbirds in Gowanus. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So for listeners outside of the New York area, can you explain what 420 Blackbirds is?
Sure. We are a pie and coffee shop in Gowanus. We make seasonal pie with local fruits, and in the wintertime we do custards and chocolates, and we're just starting to experiment with some cream pies, which is very exciting, and yeah, we're basically pie and coffee shop.
Yeah. Can you explain some of the things, some of the pie flavors you have right now in particular?
Sure. Yeah. Right now we do, one of my favorites that we're doing right now is the Black Bottom Lemon. It's a good time of year for citrus because there's not much else available. And it's like, it's a ganache layer on the bottom and a lemon, a bright Meyer lemon custard on top. And that's pretty much it. If you like citrus and chocolate combination, it's really good.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy delicious. You know, how long has the shop been open for now?
We opened in April of 2010, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so 2010. We're approaching our second year. Which is crazy to think. The first year flew by,
yeah,
for sure. And we basically, you know, it was a lot of hard work for the first year. And
the second year has flown by too, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you've been super successful. And I love the name. And I'd love to know kind of the story behind how that came about.
Yeah, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, well, it's a friend of the family, actually. She owns a bookshop, and she was suggesting that we look into nursery rhymes. There's a lot of pie references, apparently, kittens and mittens and something.
You know, Tom and Thumb.
Yeah, Tom Thumb and the...
It's everywhere in nursery rhymes.
Yeah, pie. and yeah, so we were looking around. And
we definitely, like, had, you know, been kind of thinking about different references for pie and what you know, and then we stumbled upon it. I can't remember if we were just like looking at different nursery rhymes or if she sent us something.
Yeah, I think she sent us some different ideas.
Printouts. So yeah. She was like,
and then
you know,
when we saw that, we're like, oh, that's perfect. It's like creepy a little bit. And
yeah.
Like,
it's very dark.
The nursery rhyme
itself
is very,
you know,
most like, are actually.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, and we liked that it had a sense of familiarity, but it wasn't like so direct that it was like, you know, I don't know, like the kittens. Not getting their pie. I mean, that one's, I think, a little more familiar, but the sort of subtle darkness to it.
It is a super creepy poem, which I, or rhyme. I looked it up, and apparently in the Middle Ages, they used to stick live. They did that.
Yeah.
They would stick live birds.
And people.
I also.
People. Turtles.
Yeah,
animals.
People. They would love. There was actually, in 1626, there was an actual little person named Geoffrey Hudson who was apparently like super famous. And he was served up in King Charles' court. The queen loved him because he was just this tiny, cute person that was willing to go inside of a pie and pop out and be like, here I am again. And every time she loved
this.
It.
Yeah. We need to do this at the pie show.
Yeah. I mean,
It's like theater. It's like dinner theater, you know, or whatever, like the sort of entertainment of having things on the table that create this sort of fiasco.
I just love that people were like, let's stick live animals in a pie. Clearly you're not doing that. I mean, PETA and the health department were so pissed off by that. And New Yorkers would probably be confused. But Needless to say, so you've had a huge following. I mean, you know, I think the New York Times, they've written a bunch of things about you, and I've seen pictures of people, you know, a pregnant woman, there was an account waiting outside of the shop for like an hour before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. And
so you have some diehard fans. I want to know, where did you grow up, and what was it like growing up that's kind of influenced your path to where you are now?
Oh, well, we grew up in South Dakota, in the northeastern part of the state where it's very desolate, and we grew
rural.
Up in a tiny town. Yeah, we're very rural. Tiny town of 350 people.
Heckla, South Dakota.
Heckla, South Dakota, yeah.
Shout out.
Big ups!
It's a farming community. Our father's a farmer. And we grew up in a restaurant. Our mother and her two sisters started the restaurant in like 1985, I guess,
yeah.
Right? And so I was five and Melissa was like three.
Three or something, yeah.
And we grew up doing that, you know, from starting out like playing in the back, you know, with our friends to starting to wash dishes to waiting tables to cleaning tables mm-hmm. to cooking. We did it all the way through high school.
Yeah.
It was kind of the only game in town as far as restaurants. For a while, there was another cafe,
mm-hmm.
but eventually they kind of dominated the food scene there. So it was definitely...
They totally dominated that food scene.
And everything was homemade and fresh. And our grandmother baked all the pies from day one. She came in a few times a week, and she did seasonal pies, you know. That was like, you know, she's a Depression era mother, so it wasn't like, you know, you were using expensive things out of season. It was always like whatever was available. And then she did a lot of cream pies in the wintertime. I don't think she really did as many custards, though, did she?
No.
I guess the sour cream raisin is a custard.
Yeah, I mean, kind of
a
but it's more of
custard.
A pudding.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a pudding.
Yeah.
Puddingy.
But that was, you know, she became known for her pies. So definitely our business was, you know, in honor of that and inspired by that and by her, you know. Kind of the classic story of grandma bakes really well, but
yeah.
She definitely like
but it was more than
thing.
Just
yeah.
You know, home baking. It was definitely for the public, and it was she was really well known too
yeah.
in the area, you know, like just from around the region. You know, delivery drivers and stuff would really like buy pie at our restaurant because they loved her pie.
Yeah. And what else was I gonna say? Yeah.
So, all right. So you come from a culinary
yeah.
family of sorts.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're in New York. Like, how yeah. did you get up here? And how did you guys kind of decide to one day be like, let's try this?
Well, I had been living in New York since 99. And I actually studied art and had a totally different background. I wasn't in the culinary world. I had worked different things, but found myself making pies and tarts a lot for people and as gifts and... really had a great response when I would bring one. Meanwhile, Melissa found herself baking wedding cakes and doing a lot of baking
little,
and
yeah.
cooking for friends. So we found we were both gravitating towards those things, and we had talked forever, probably our entire lives, about starting a business together. Maybe, you know, having grown up with our mom running a business with her family. And
yeah, both of our parents are self-employed entrepreneurs, so it's kind of runs in the family, and
yeah.
a lot of our family is as well.
Yeah.
But we always... Or I always felt like I didn't want to do food
yeah.
because it was all we'd ever done or all we'd ever, like, what we grew up doing. And
it's hard work. You know?
It's hard,
dirty
yeah.
And like, when you're running your business yourself, like, it's so much.
And it was also a hobby.
Yeah.
And I didn't want necessarily to have something that I enjoyed doing become my everyday work. But
yeah.
But then we finally just came around to it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. We knew that we had the... We didn't necessarily have, like, the New York City experience or, the like, you know, it's a small town, like, family restaurant, but we had that in our backgrounds. We had that in our, you know, problem-solving kind of abilities or whatever, which is so much what it is, creative problem-solving all the time. But Melissa moved to New York. I had a room in my house open up, and then she had been traveling.
Yeah, I had just gotten back from 2 years in New Zealand and Australia, and then... I was like, what do I do now? and then she's like, why don't you come to New York? And I was like, okay.
So
that seems like
yeah.
a good idea.
And at the time, actually, we had just, some friends of ours right in this neighborhood have a supper club in their apartment. And they invited us to do dessert for their Valentine's Day. So it's actually
oh yeah,
right around this time that we were...
What's it called?
It's called Devarar.
Cool.
And yeah, it's really great. They do beautiful stuff. And... they invited us to come do dessert for their event. And at the time, we, you know, it was kind of like chocolate and Valentine's, you know, very rich. So we did like a chocolate tart with wine poached pears, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And like a mascarpone cream, kind of very desserty, not really the pie thing, but it was definitely still, you know, our first collaboration together. And we also did like a little takeaway dessert, like some little shoe chocolate dip shoe things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
I forgot all about
yeah.
that.
So we just, you know, starting to develop the idea, and that was really and we did a few more for them throughout that year.
That was a fun time because they would have a theme for their dinner, and then we would match it, and like it was a good time for experimentation for us. We came up with some good recipes.
Yeah, basically all of 2009, I was still working full time in photography, and you were kind of working part time, but having a hard time finding work.
Yeah, so it was not a good time, and still not, I guess, but it wasn't a good time to be looking for to be arriving in the city looking for a job
with a finance degree.
With a finance degree in 2009. Yeah.
So that was a very it was very like we spent a year. You know, we were basically like, let's do this. Let's. I think we even looked at a location early in the year, and we were like, wait a second, we need to have a plan before we open, like before we sign on to a lease and a place. And so we spent the year like recipe developing and researching and coming up with ideas, and really narrowed in on the pie thing then, because it was like we noticed that there was hard to find anybody doing pie, like in fresh pies with seasonal stuff, in that way, like handmade. It was even hard to find something to start a price point. You know, we were like, who do we compare to? And there were a few, but there were a couple, but you know, that was exclusively that we didn't really see so much of. So, and we weren't sure if it would take either. You know, we just knew we liked doing it, and we really liked making pie crust, and we really liked, you know, that process. And so that fall, we came upon a location in Gowanus that is near where I helped start a nonprofit artist studio space called the Gowanus Studio Space. And I'd been down there for a couple of years working with that, so knew that there was a need in that area for a coffee shop, local kind of spot, and it was a great location, a great landlord, good price on the rent, you know, basically seemed feasible. And
we weren't even looking, you know, though.
Yeah, no, we weren't really. We were doing our business and selling pies and basically also like food styling gigs and weird, just whatever came our way.
Making Christmas cookies in August for a photo shoot.
Yeah, so... And then the location, and it kind of, you know, it was went from a crazy idea where we're like, so Dad, what do you think about this idea? And asking everybody that we knew, like, what do you think? And you know, getting votes of confidence and support.
I was actually out of town.
You were home for
Halloween. I had gone home to visit our parents, and she calls me. She's like, I found this location. I think we should open a coffee shop there. I'm like, you're crazy. I was like, I don't know if we're ready for that. Yeah. But then I came back, and I was working at a restaurant at the time, and the restaurant closed.
Yeah, it opened and closed.
It opened and closed really quickly. And then I was like unemployed again. And then we were like, well, maybe this is a good idea.
And we did it. We did so much of the work ourselves, you know, which is so, I mean, I think that's a classic thing. Obviously, when you're starting a business, you put your all into it. And like everybody, your blood, sweat, and tears. And we really like, with the help of a lot of amazing friends and, you know, a lot of support from people, and just signed the lease on New Year's Eve and started demolishing it on January 1st and opened in April.
I think it was January 2nd.
January 2nd.
I don't think we did anything on January 2nd.
No, I feel like we were there like the day after. We were like so excited to start tearing the walls down and like, you know,
hungover.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Give me that sledgehammer.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we've got more from the gals at 4 and 20 Blackbirds. You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You need to get it if he don't wanna love you the right way. He ain't gonna. It ain't where he's at, it's where he wanna be.
Location. Yes.
Like that, but it ain't even gotta be like that. Yo man, he be calling me back. He say I'm fine, and a matter of fact, he asked how I do that fit my jeans over baby fat. Listen, I don't know the type of tricks he playing, but
the following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards and Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides, and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com.
If you're just tuning in, you are still listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network, and I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by sisters Emily and Melissa Elson of 420 Blackbirds, and you guys chose that amazing song. What was it?
Let It Go,
Emily.
Going back.
Yeah, it's going back. Yeah. I was trying to remember.
It's Valentine's Day appropriate.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Valentine's Day, so I'm guessing you're probably gearing up and, you know, probably getting some requests out there for...
A little bit. It's not our biggest holiday, actually. I think by the time it rolls around, people are thinking about chocolates more and not so much. I mean, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's like the crazy time. But we do some chocolate stuff, for sure, and like some rich chocolate pies, which are a good indulgence.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know... like the creative process between the two of you, because you are sisters and also you're developing all these recipes together, which take me through the process. Like, how does it work and where do you sort of pull inspiration from?
Well, inspiration is easy to talk about, that's for sure. We, you know, our initial inspiration was the Midwest and like Midwestern pies, and we have some great old farm journal cookbooks that have, I mean, honestly, like, any pie that you could think of, it's probably been tried. And it's probably been tried by a farm wife somewhere back in, like, you know, the whatever time period. If it was 50s cream pies or, you know, in the South, there's a huge, I mean, all over, regionality with pies, there's a huge regionality. Every, you know, area of the country and also in the UK, there's a big history of pie making. So I think we definitely started with looking at stuff and coming up with different takes on those things. And then we also are inspired by ingredients hugely, like local stuff. I think that in our second year of business, we've been able to spend more time looking into sourcing and, getting into like foraged things and just, you know, working with the farmers that we know at the market and being like, what's coming up next? What's next? What berries do you have now? What can we do with that? And, you know, I think, we talk a lot about the early days when it was just the two of us and we were like, we'd just be in there baking and like, we'd be like, let's put booze in this. Let's make it Boozy Tuesday. Like, every pie is going to have booze in it. Or like, what else? Like, you know, just.
Yeah. Generally, like when we're coming up with a new idea, we will talk about it. And then we just kind of go back and forth. Like we'll text each other different ideas like throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. We do that a lot.
Like always like, or just like, you know, yesterday you were getting your hair cut and we were like, I was like, this pie, what do you think? And then we, you know, it's just like. And then, and then usually
one of them clicks.
Yeah.
And we both like it. And then we, you know, in the early days it was just us, but now our staff is definitely involved a lot and we'll, you know, we'll make something at the shop and just put it out and be like, everybody taste it and give your feedback. You know, what do you think? Is it going to be something that's worth continuing to work on? There's certain things. I mean, I'd say now we have a long list of ideas that we just haven't gotten time to try out and work on, because, you know, the demands of running the place and having a consistent product and streamlining the recipes, which Melissa is really amazing at, like just taking stuff and making it a consistent, you know, workable recipe. Because, you know, stuff can be tricky when you know how baking is, like, if it's not right and it's the pie cracks every time, mm-hmm. or the, you know, like whatever, it's like, it's,
yeah, we're tinkering with the recipes constantly.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely the inspiration. And then when it comes down to like the process of it, it's definitely like try it, taste it, tweak it, try it, you know, go like you want. I mean, our pie crust itself is pretty consistent. This winter we started experimenting a little bit with crumb crusts, but we really just stick to all butter flour crust with for all the pies. The custard and the fruit pies get the same crust, and we make tons of crust every week. You know, we're constantly making crust. And then the fillings themselves, you know, it's definitely like fruit season varies. We'll just kind of do stuff on the fly because of what's available. And then the custards are more streamlined. One of them, like salty honey, is really popular now. And that was a pie that came out of a chess pie that we were making it, and we didn't have any. I was making a bourbon chess pie, and we didn't have any bourbon, so we just tried honey, and then it did something weird. And then one of our bakers at the time was like, "Put some salt on it." And then, you know, the initial version of it was not very. It was good. It had something. We weren't quite sure.
Yeah, how it was to make good, it work. But it didn't. It wasn't consistent, yeah.
And it was like a little weird. So then Melissa ran it through like, I don't know, 20
different versions
until we got to a point where it was like, you know, it's consistent and is what it is now.
What do you think the secret, without giving away the actual secret, of a good pie crust? Like, what's the characteristic most? Is it flaky? Is it buttery? Like, what are you looking for to classify it as a great crust?
Flakiness, yeah, definitely. And butter. I mean, we love just all butter crust. The flavor of butter is kind of like, you can't get much better than that. Yeah.
We put a little cider vinegar in it to give it a little...
It gives it a little tang.
And like it kind of tenderizes it. I think there's a lot of, you know, you'll read a lot of things about like, don't overwork your crust, your butter has to be frozen, your butter has to be this way, you know, like there's many different things. And I think a lot of it is feel, like just getting
definitely
familiar with it and understanding. And everybody's crust is different. I've said this before, we say it like when we make crust, like one, I mean, we're pretty consistent now, we have a really consistent method, but like when we were making crust in the beginning, it was easy to tell whose was whose. And when in the shop too, when we have new people, you can tell when somebody's, when it's whose crust it is. So I think getting a feel for it, understanding the way it behaves, like that's really probably the biggest secret. I don't know if like, because, you know, maybe your hands are warmer, and if you're using your hands when you're putting it together, maybe the temperature, there's so many varying things. So it's just really, I think, understanding it. It's like bread baking in a way, or anything. Understanding what you're looking for is probably the biggest secret.
I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know, New Yorkers have been so obsessed with cupcakes for so long.
Yeah.
And it seems like now pie is sort of the new cupcake in a weird way.
It's been said.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, this is such a classic American thing, yet again, you're one of the first places to really bring it out in New York. Beyond the pie and all of the other things that you offer, what do you think it is about what you're doing that is working really well? Whether it's the experience of coming into the shop or...
Yeah.
Etc.
I think having a storefront that we really dedicated to the product and to the experience of the product, I think that helps for sure, and was important to us, because having grown up in a restaurant that was a community place, like that's definitely the feeling we wanted. You know, we wanted it to be like open and chill, and like you come in and you sit down, and it's maybe a little, you know, maybe it's not perfect all the time in there, but like it's approachable, and I think that has helped our product for sure, like having a dedicated place to experience it. I think consistency and caring about what you're making and making it good. I mean, you know, I've heard this said before, like it doesn't matter what the place looks like, if the product is good, people will come back. And that was even, you know, that's what we learned definitely from our mom, is like, if the food's good, people want it, you know, and just like we would, like you go to a place that you like to eat what they're making, and, you know, so I think that's part of it. You know, pie as a trend is not something that we would really want to get behind, but I mean, it's certainly good for business if people like, you know, but I mean, pie has just been around forever, you know, like, yeah. and it is timeless. And so whether or not it becomes a trend is sort of not interesting to us. We just want to keep making it and make a good product. I mean, we're not pastry chefs, you know, we didn't come from that like culinary school background or anything. So we're very much into the home style, you know, sort of hands-on, handmade feel.
And who would you say is coming in to buy your pie? What kind of, who's your crowd?
It's such a range. It's always surprising. I mean,
New Yorkers from everywhere, for sure. Like, yeah. You know, all around.
Every
Queens, Long Island, Staten Island. I mean,
borough,
yeah, New
Jersey,
too. Definitely our weekday crowd is definitely like the local Gowanus, Park Slope, Carroll Gardens folks. I think that's more of our and the, down where we are in Gowanus is a lot of artists and designers and business people. Small businesses have cropped up down there, and we very much identify with that community. So that's very much our weekday crowd. The weekend, it seems like it's people from everywhere. I mean, we get a lot of South Dakotans come in, and they'll be like, "We're from South Dakota." you know, Californians. I don't know, people all over the place.
People drive from in South, from out of town. Yeah. You know, from like the surrounding, like Connecticut, and they'll be like, "Oh, I drove down from Connecticut to have pie."
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're like, "I'm taking this back to, you know, I don't know, Buffalo with me. How long will it hold in the car?" And I think, you know, when we've been in publications like travel magazines or things like that, that definitely also people would put it. And I'm always amazed that they're willing to trek all the way out to Gowanus. And, you know, we're definitely a little off the beaten path down there, but it's growing and it's shaping into a great neighborhood. So, you know, different.
Yeah. And I can't believe I haven't asked, what are some of the savory things that you're making beyond the sweet stuff? Because you have some really amazing savory things as well.
Yeah,
we've got some really great savory pies right now. We have a new squash. There's the squash, and then
just kind of sweet and a little bit of
and a little chili.
Yeah.
That's a new one that we've been working on.
And mushroom manchego. Mostly we've done veggie stuff, but we're looking to get into more meats. We've actually been talking with the Meat Hook. We just got some lard, really good lard, from leaf lard from the Meat Hook, and we're going to use that in some savory crust. So,
awesome.
Which I think, you know, we prefer butter for the sweet, but with savory, like, get that lard in there for sure.
Yeah.
And that was, our grandmother all used exclusively lard. Like, she never used butter, so... So that, yeah, and what else?
What else we have going?
There's a lamb, ground lamb with peas, that's good. And then garlicky kale was one that we've done for a long time, which is just a bunch of kale and chili and garlic. And then what else? Savory stuff. We did some pie dinners in the past, and we were thinking about bringing that back. We just have to find the time to do it. but we worked with a chef friend who is really talented, and Nate Smith. He worked at the Spotted Pig, and he did some great fillings too. So that kind of stuff. Awesome. We definitely want to start exploring more of it.
Yeah. Well, it's all delicious. And do you have a cookbook coming out or anything like that?
We actually just got a cookbook deal, I guess. It will be working on it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So fall of 2013.
Yeah.
And we've submitted a few recipes here and there to some things. A great one that's coming out in spring of 2013 is going to be called The New Midwestern Table by Amy Thielen. That's going to be a fun book, and we have a recipe in there. If all goes according to plan, ours will be out in fall of 2013. Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we just write it.
Yeah.
And are you going to expand anywhere else? Or we've got to come to Gowanus, right?
Right now, Gowanus. You can get our pies at Untitled at the Whitney, which has been a great experience for us working with Chef Chris Bradley there. He's awesome, and it's a place where we probably won't open for who knows, you know, way up there uptown. So that's, you can get them there. We would really like to start doing the markets. We just haven't, you know, kind of found, we really wanted to get the shop running super well and super tight, and so that when we start thinking about expansion options, we can kind of let that, you know, run itself, so to speak. So growth probably will be held off while we're working on the book, but maybe early next year. Yeah. We'll have to see. It sort of depends on, you know, so many factors.
Absolutely. And I have to ask, have you been watching Downton Abbey at all? Because I feel like there's some pie,
yes,
major pie action.
I haven't, but I've been told. You know, that what's one thing we often, people are always telling us about, you got to check this out. Yeah. There's pie stuff. I've heard about it. She's a pie maker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The cook, like, is always making pie. Like, lots of meat pies, lots of, I think there was a raspberry one in there. There's a whole creepy cult online food following of Downton Abbey.
Oh, really?
That's another radio show. Yeah. and your website is?
Birdsblack.com.
Awesome. Twitter handle?
I think it's at birdsblack. Or, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll definitely be coming to the shop very soon again. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And congratulations so much on everything that you're doing. And for listeners out there, again, go get yourself a slice of pie. You deserve it. So thanks to Carlos Salguero, Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio, and Roberta's. I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.